I want to ask you a question before we get started in the message today. Think about this. Just think about it. How many of you here today are breathing? I got a few hands there. Maybe if they didn't put their hand up, they might want to pinch them or something just to be sure. I was just checking to be sure. You know, if you are breathing, then you will have problems, issues, trouble, difficulties in life at some time or another, either past, right now, or the future, if you're breathing. If you're not breathing, you don't have any problems anymore. Unless you go to hell, then you got a lot of problems. But other than that, you don't have a problem. You know, we all face problems and troubles. We all face mountains in our lives, and some of those mountains are large, and some of them are not so large. Even the small ones, sometimes we see them as this great mountain of difficulty. And some may be large. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we will not have troubles in this life. Some people think when they get born again, there are no more trouble. That's not the way it is. You have the same troubles that you always had before. But you have a different perspective on them. You are in a different position than you were before. Before you got born again, you were without hope and without God in this world, according to the Ephesians. I was in that state, but you know I didn't know it. You know, it's sad that the world doesn't know the state that they're really in without Jesus. They really are, as Paul said in Ephesians, without hope and without God in this world. Every time I read that verse of Scripture, it kind of shakes my timbers because I know I was there. But now, the next verse says, but now we have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Something's changed. When I got born again, I no longer have the same position that I had before. I was without hope. You were too. Hopefully everybody here today is born again. If not, let us know. We're happy to pray for you and be part of that transition from death to life. But all of us have problems, trials, and tribulations in life. It's just part of life. It's part of being in the fallen world. Now, it hasn't always been that way. You know, there was a time when there was no problems, trials, and tribulations. You know, Adam walked in a very nice place called the Garden of Eden. And he walked with God. He knew God intimately, one-on-one. They knew each other's hearts and the depths of who they were. It was never God's plan for this darkness to be here. It was never God's plan for man to have to walk through this darkness in this world. But he knew it was possible. So he prepared before the foundation of the world Jesus. Jesus was crucified, it says, before the foundation of the world. I can't imagine what this world would be like without sin, without issues and problems that are here today, the darkness that's here. You know, Satan knows that his time is short. He's being squeezed like a tube of toothpaste. He's being squeezed into the light where he can be seen and where the things that he does can be seen and visibly by the world as well as by man. Satan functions, his best place to function is in darkness. He likes darkness, but he doesn't like the light. The light hurts him, but he's being brought forth into the light because his time is up. Well, who are we? Are we supposed to be just walking along every day in darkness like everybody else? Not what the Word says. The Word says we are the light of the world. We're supposed to be a light in a dark place. That's who we are. That's our job. All of us, if you are born again, if you could really see your spirit man, there's a light in you. And he's called the Holy Spirit. He's present in everyone that is born again. You know, problems, trials, and tribulations are a part of the fallen world, not a part of God's world, the world that he ordained. If we focus on circumstances, the problems, the troubles, more than the Word of God, then the circumstances that we are facing will conquer us. They will conquer us. Our focus is vital. If we focus on and believe in the Word more than the circumstances, then the Word will come to pass. So it's really our choice. We make the choice of which we want to function in our life. Do we want to walk this life as God ordained us to, as overcomers? Or do we want to walk this life defeated under the circumstances where we're not supposed to be, and walk this life just like everybody else? And probably we're in a little bit worse condition than the world is. It's because we have the truth in us. The world does not. It's normal for them to walk that way. It's normal for them to sin and to walk and to be in the darkness and everything that darkness involves. It's normal for them. But it's not normal for the Christian. It's not normal for those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you've been born again, that's not your normal life. You may walk through your life thinking that's just the way it is for me. I was born under a trouble, and I'm still in trouble. I'm always going to be in trouble. That's not who you are. You had a change. You moved from darkness to light. But you can still walk in the darkness if you choose to do that. God will back up your choice, but it's not His idea for you to be there. A high price was paid so that we do not have to walk in darkness. That's the whole thing, to move from death to life, from unrighteousness to righteousness. There's been a change made in us, but you know, Mother and I in our ministry travel to a lot of churches, and we know a lot of people in that process. But it's amazing to me as we travel that there's not a lot taught about who we really are in Christ. There's not a lot taught about the victory we have in Jesus. They'll sing the blood songs, you know, which is, boy, they're great. I mean, we need to do that. But they don't expand on it in the teaching of the church. We just kind of exist in our troubles and our problems and trials when we're not supposed to do that. We're going to have them, but we don't have to let them determine who we are and what we do. We're supposed to be seen walking through the same problems that the world does. The world is supposed to see us as walking through them in victory, walking through them in peace, walking through those difficulties and trials with joy. We're supposed to be examples for a dark world, not looking the same way everybody else does, and there's no change or no difference in this guy that says he's a Christian.
Joy unspeakable.
With full of glory. Amen, Eldon. That's the real condition of the church. But we don't know it. A lot of us do not know that. And that's the church's fault for not teaching it. Our people are... There's a famine in the land. I like to say it that way. There's a famine of the Word in the church. And it's not God's fault that there's a famine of the Word in the church. I don't want to be in a famine. God does not want me to walk through this life in a famine. He wants me to walk through this life fully prepared, fully provided for. And He has done that. Do you know the title of our message today is In Christ. In Christ, more than conquerors. Now that's who you and I are. We are more than conquerors. Everyone sitting here, that's why I ask if you were breathing. Everyone sitting here today that's breathing is more than a conqueror. That's who you are. The Bible says that's who you are. That's what Jesus paid for, so that you would be more than a conqueror if you are in Christ. Jesus said that we would have tribulations. Now, He's not denying that. He didn't ever say that there would be no problems or issues when you're walking through this life. He definitely said that there would be. In John chapter 16, verse 33, He's been preaching, this is a few hours before the cross. Now, if you take chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17, they're all happening basically at the same time. Read them without the chapter divisions. Jesus has been constantly teaching, starting in chapter 13. He's teaching his disciples everything they need to know to walk this life without him being here. He's going to the cross in a few minutes. So he's or a few hours. He's preparing the church. Preparing the church that was to be in those 12 apostles. Preparing the church for the darkness that was ahead. He's giving them everything they need. Everything they need in what he's telling them. It says that in this particular verse. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. Well, when you get born again, you're in Christ. You've moved from being without Christ to being in Christ. So here he says, these things I have spoken to you. So he's done speaking with it. He's referring to what he's already said. So if you go back to what he said in 13, 14, 15, and 16, if you put it all together, he's telling these apostles to walk the love walk. The commandment that he made is to love one another. That's what he said. That's what he told them to do so they could walk in peace. Everything he said in those chapters is all referring to love, starting with the washing of the feet. Everything there is focused around love. That's why he said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. That is the commandment from which everything else flows. So he's saying, if you'll do that, if you will walk this commandment, you can walk this life in peace, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter how dark it gets, you can do that. Jesus said, if you do this one commandment, I'm paraphrasing, you do this one commandment, that it encompasses all of the prophets and all of the law. Everything is in that one commandment. That's why he said, if you'll do this, you will walk through the darkness of this world in peace. You will understand me. Then I can bring the Holy Spirit, and he can bring that peace and bring it forth through you to a dark world. That's what we're supposed to be. And if you're born again, he's already in you. The conqueror and the comforter and the peace of God lives inside of you if you're born again. He's there. Now, you may not be allowing him to function. You may not be calling on him, but he's there. He's waiting on you. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will, that's an absolute, you will have tribulations. But, there's a but that follows the tribulation. But, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, be of good cheer. That's a commandment. I got to treat that as a commandment. How can I be of good cheer with the darkness that's around me? By walking the love walk and staying in his word, believing the word, walking with him, positioning myself so that he can flow through me, positioning myself so that he can flow in me. That's my job, not his. Do you know we are really, according to the word of God, more than conquerors? That's who God says we are. Now, we can be more than a conqueror. God has made us that, if you're born again, but not be overcoming. We can be a conqueror, but not be conquering. That's our fault if we're not conquering. God has paid the price. He's paid everything necessary for me to be a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, though. What does a conqueror do? He fights. And he overcomes. And a lot of times at other people's death, but there's a fight going on here. He's a conqueror. He has defeated somebody through great battle. What is more than a conqueror? They're not the same thing. We read it as if that's what they are. But something that's more than a conqueror, this is the best example I know. I've heard it many years ago, probably 20 years ago, a minister said it, and I've not been able to improve on it, so I'll do it the way he did it. He said, a more than a conqueror, to get a picture of him, is this guy's in the arena. He is fighting. He's fighting for the championship. He has been beat to pieces, but the other guy is in worse shape. So he won that fight, and he got the paycheck. He's a conqueror. He got the trophy. He got the paycheck. He got the name. He got everything that's involved in that fight by winning it. Then he goes home, and he hands a check to his wife. She's more than a conqueror. She didn't get bruised. She didn't get beat up. She didn't have to fight. None of that. He handed her the check. So who's more than a conqueror there? Now that's what Jesus did for us. He took that beating. He bore every sin for everyone, past, present, and future, barring no one. He bore that. He conquered Satan. He rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Then he gave us the victory. He moved us from darkness to light. He gave us his victory and his name. He gave us this wonderful word to walk in, to walk this life as more than a conqueror. Another picture of more than a conqueror is found in Psalm 23. If you read that, what's going on? We don't have time to go there, but if you read Psalm 23, it's an image of someone that's more than a conqueror. You're led beside the still waters. God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You're sitting at the table, and the fight's going on around you, and you're not fighting. That's more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You know God has already settled things in this Bible. Circumstances that he's already settled by way of a promise. And we let those promises lay and walk through the problem. When all the time he paid the price, he gave the promise, but if I don't activate that promise, then I may be more than a conqueror as far as God is concerned and as far as who I really am in Christ, but not be conquering. Why am I not conquering? I don't even have to do the fight. I just got to stand, therefore. Take the word, believe it, confess it, and stand there for it. It's a promise. It's a covenant. He has made that available to me. But as long as it's laying on the table, and I'm not taking it, I'm not doing anything with it, I am more than the conqueror, but I'm being conquered. Is that God's fault? It's not God's fault. He's not going to fight the fight again. He already did. Satan is 100% defeated. Is there a fight? Yes. There is a fight. But he's paid the price and give us everything we need to take care of that. But so many of us, when we're in those fights, we see Satan as a victor. And if we don't watch it, he'll take everything. Well, the only way he can is if I lay it down. God's already given me the victory. He's already paid the price. And he expects me to do something about it. And he'll back it once I do. That's awesome. I'm way ahead of myself. Praise God. Well, Jesus said here to be of good cheer. That's one of the keys to victory. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not our weakness. How can I be of good cheer in the midst of this mess? You can if you don't focus on the mess, but you focus on the word. You focus on what God has done, the promises. You do your research. You stand before the Lord and receive what he's done. And then you stand in front of Satan and says, as Jesus did, for it is written. You use that scripture to do your fight for you. That's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It is what God uses. And I can guarantee you, if you'll stand on that word and mean business with it, because God said it, not because you're saying it, because he said it, and you're speaking in his name. For it is written. That devil has to bow to that word. He hasn't got a choice. He cannot overcome the word. It's not possible. The word is absolute truth. It's absolute life. It cannot be changed unless God changes it, and he will not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know, God's expecting the church to get to the place Where they know that. Where they know that they've already been made more than a conqueror. That the fight's already been done. And then he placed it in his word as a guarantee, a covenant. He expects us to take those promises and say, thus says the Lord, for it is written. Nothing and no one can change that unless I myself do. I can change it where I'm concerned, but I still doesn't change the word. What Brother Terrace is talking about in the city hall and all and doing all of that, that's a good thing. But we don't go in there as defeated. We go in there like Moses. I've been reading that in my own personal devotions again. We go in there like Moses. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. And he didn't let them go. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. Moses was standing on what God said, not what he felt like. Moses went in there with the word. The people that are going to that city hall thing, go in there with the word. What does the word say about this? We are more than conquerors. We're not subject. There's the city hall and all that has, they have power and authority, but not the authority of this word. Whatever we do, whatever we're facing, no matter what it is, government or otherwise, we always face it with the word. We go in there with, thus says the Lord, and allow the Lord to do the fight. And he will. All of a sudden, those council members are waking up in the middle of the night seeing things that they never saw before. That's why you pray for your president. He may want abortion or whatever, but he sleeps. And the word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. It also says that God is the governor among the nations. They're subject to him. And if the church will pray, they'll be starting having some dreams. They'll have some dreams. And all of a sudden, they'll see the reality of what they're doing. It may take a while, but it will happen. Because God's word is true. And the church is more than a conqueror. We're the body of Christ. Christ is more, is the conqueror. We're more than a conqueror because we're in Christ. And we need to start taking our place. It's more than just going, and that's awesome and that's good. But if we don't do our stand the rest of the time, well, that's going to be a pretty weak stand. But if we stand together, thus says the Lord in our prayer time, declaring what the word says, then go, we've already got the fight won before we even go. This is something that the church is missing. We're not taking our place as more than conquerors. We're not using the word the way the word is meant to be used. We want our own ideas to do, and they're great ideas, but it's like going to the doctor and taking medicine. That's fine, take the medicine, but don't take it without the word. Take it in faith. Take it based on the word. Take it in faith, believing the healing. Take the medicine. The same way when you pray. Do whatever you need to do in the natural, but do it with the word. Do it with that being your baseline, that being your foundation as you do it. When we are going through problems, trials, and trouble in this life, we need to know and be persuaded that we are in Christ, that God himself is for us, and that he has already made us more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That's how we face our problems. We face our problems and trials with the knowledge that we are in Christ. If you're born again, I'm in Christ. To get to me, it's got to get through him. I'm in Christ. The other one I said was that God himself is for us. He's not against us. God is for us. He's with us. The other one was that he has already made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's already who I am. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then verse 37. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm not more than a conqueror in myself. I'm more than a conqueror in him. Because he loves me. Not because of anything I am other than being his son and daughter. I have a right, an inheritance that he gave me. And he even put it in the book. He gave it to us and placed himself in us so that he could bring it to pass. Praise God. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. See, that's what Paul was. He was persuaded. We need to come to the place where we're persuaded. Now, it takes time to get there. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to forget. You're going to go back to your normal way of handling things. But when you realize that you're doing that, stop and get back in the Word. Take your place in the Word. Come to the place where you're persuaded God is God. The Word is the Word. It cannot be changed. John 1:1 says that God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word. Amplified says before all time. In the beginning was the word before, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was God. So if God is or was the word, he's still the word. That's why the word works. It's because God and his word are one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. That's what I mean. He's already paid for it. So he gives it to us. That's what makes us more than a conqueror. No matter what we're going through, he's already given us the victory in that. Now it takes time. We'll have to position ourselves for it to work. We'll have to do our part. We'll have to stand there for it. But if we do that, the word works. When we stop, it stops. God requires our participation in what he does. Philippians 4:13, I'm going to go ahead and read that. I wasn't going to. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now, how many is all? Whatever I need to do, I can do it through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Not in my own strength. He's strengthening me. And then right down the page there, verse 19 says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if I am in Christ, and I am, I'm born again, then my needs are already here. I'm in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's the one that brings them forth. I just got to do my part. In Christ Jesus, we really are more than conquerors. What does it mean to be in Christ? To make it simple, it just means you have to be born again. That's the long and short of it. If you're born again, you are already in Christ. And the Holy Spirit has already come because you're born again. Well, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I've already told you. The prize fighter. Okay? Jesus fought the fight, we get the payment. That is so awesome. Glory be to God. John 3:7 says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now must, I look for absolutes in the Bible. I suggested you do the same thing. Anytime you see the word shall, or the word will, or the word must, that's an absolute. Jesus said here, you must be born again. In other words, if you're going with me, you're going to have to be born again. You cannot understand it. You cannot get to heaven. You must be born again. You can't be born and not be born again and get to heaven. So he said you must. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the one most of us should know. If we don't, look it up, write it down. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new because I am in Christ. I'm no longer the one I was before. You know, we need to study our identity as a church. We are no longer separated or disconnected from God. We are now sons and daughters of God. That's who we are right now if you're born again. You were not a son of God. Now you are because you got born again. You got born as a son or a daughter. I love 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. One of these days, it's going to go off in our spirit that I am a son of God. And then I'm going to be saying, behold, what manner of love. I know where I was. I know some of the things I did. I know some things, I know there might be some I forgot about, but I know what kind of person I was before. I got born again. Now my DNA is Jesus. I'm in Christ, and so are you. We need to get excited about that. We need to get excited about who we are and what God has done for us. Glory to God. And I cannot be more than a conqueror without being a son. That's what puts me in the position of more than a conqueror. Galatians 3:26 says, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I put this shirt on before I came. I'm in it, right? Every one of you got clothes on. I hope you all do. You got clothes on. So you are in those clothes. Are you? Are you not? We have put on Christ. So we are in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's important to remember. Glory to God. Okay. Because we are born again, sons and daughters of God, we are in Christ. Because we are now in Christ, we have already been made more than conquerors. Not only are we in Christ, but our loving Heavenly Father placed His own personal Holy Spirit inside us, making us more than conquerors. Finished work. Finished work, Brother Eldon. Amen. We are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and man. John 17:21. That was Jesus' high priestly prayer. Did God answer that? When Jesus went to the cross, that was available. He'd done everything He could to make Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and man one. Now it's man's choice to become one with them. That's what happens when you get born again. You've become one with God. You've become one with Jesus. You've become one with the Holy Spirit. Not only are you in them, but they are in you. And you are in us, whoever you are that are born again. We are one. We are one. God made us one. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have. Now, have is another absolute. But it's also past tense. It means this something has been done. A work has been done. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Yeah, I don't have to be too concerned about what's in the world. Why? Because the greater one is in me. We need to concentrate on that. We need to get a hold of some of these truths, some of these absolutes in the Bible, and quit being so concerned about the devil. We can't ignore him, but he can't do anything with the Word. He can't do anything with love. He can't do anything with it. See, if I stand my ground in the Word and in love, walking the Word, Satan can't do anything with that. He is defeated. I still got to keep my eye on him. And I still got to keep the word out there against him. But he can't do anything with that word. It's my job to remain in Christ and to remain more than a conqueror, to take the word and to do the work with it. You know, how would you like to be a person, and maybe you've been there, that you've done something for someone? I mean, you really took care of everything for them. I mean, you paid the price of this thing for them. They were really in need. And you went over there and you took that thing and you paid for it. You took all of the things that were around it and dealt with it for them. And then you give it to them. And they say, oh, thanks. Throw it over in a corner. They never do anything with what you did. How would you feel that way, about that? Maybe you've been there. Well, God's been there. And he's still there. He paid this price, and so many people, if they're not born again, they just ignore it. But that's kind of the church's fault because we haven't revealed Jesus to them. But when the church does it, when we just ignore everything that he's done for us, we just ignore it as if it doesn't mean anything. How do you think God feels about that? But what do you think he feels like when we do something with it? When we use what he's done, when we stand our ground with the word, when we take the word and say, for it is written, you know that brings great joy to God? I mean, he sees his son's death there. He paid that price, and now here's someone that loves him enough to take his word and do something with it. That blesses him so much when we allow him to flow in and through us, and we take this word to a hurting world. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So what's that scripture there say? It says, then I've overcome the world. That's what puts me in a position, because Jesus is my Lord. 1 John 5:18b, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Who's the wicked one? Satan is. He's the wicked one. What does it say there? He who keeps himself. What's that mean? How do I keep something? Well, most ladies and some men are keepers of houses. They keep the house. What do? They clean it up. They put things in right order. He who keeps himself. God is saying, keep yourself. Walk the love walk. Be the person that I've called you to be. Walk as a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Do something with my word. And when you do that, Satan can't do anything about it. Amen. He who keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. Perfect love casts out fear. Or perfected love casts out fear. So Satan cannot do anything with the word, and he can't do anything about love. He can't do it. He's got to get you to change that for you. He's got to deceive you. Do you know that we can be more than a conqueror and never conquer, ending up being conquered? For it is written, we resist the devil with the word. Satan has to bow to the word. We have to do the resisting. We have to use the for it is written. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You notice who does that? We do. See, we submit to God. When I go to his word and I set my love upon him and I'm walking the love walk and I'm allowing the word to do its work, I'm interceding, I'm fellowshipping with my loving Father. When I'm doing that, I'm submitting to God. I'm submitting my life to God. I love Psalm 25:1 in the Amplified Classic. It says, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. Now that's submitting to God. Everything about my life, I'm bringing it to him. That's what David was saying when the other versions say, unto you, Lord, I bring my soul. I like the Amplified better because my life, it covers the Lord right of range. So I'm submitting myself to God. That's my job. I submit myself to him. I submit myself to the word. And then I resist the devil. If you don't resist the devil, he doesn't have to do anything. You know, he's not because you know the word. It's not because you're walking the love walk. It's not because you're anything special. You can be all of those, and he'll still fool around. It's not because you got a bunch of degrees. It's not because you have PhDs and REV in front of your name, Reverend. That's not it. He still will fool around if you'll open the door for him. It says to resist him. Now we resist him with the word, for it is written. We speak it. We take the promise and we declare it, for it is written. That's how Jesus resisted Satan in the garden, in the wilderness, for it is written. Now if he had to do it that way, don't you think we have to? See, if we don't do that, then Satan has a right to fool around. And you'll let your guard down, and he'll tear your house up. But you resist him. I can't resist him for you. I can resist him with you, but not for you. That's our job. Okay. To be an overcomer, we must be convinced that the living word of God is absolute truth. Because that's what he has to bow to. I already mentioned it, John 1:1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. I love that. John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. So here we see that the Word is sanctifying or separating. Jesus himself said, your Word is truth. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:160, the entirety of your Word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 119:130. The entrance and the unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Notice, being simple is not an excuse. If you take the Word of God and you'll unfold it, if you'll allow it to enter, and you unfold it once it's entered, it'll bring revelation to you. It'll give you discernment. It'll give you hope. It'll give you life. Exactly. The PhD doesn't mean make any difference where God's concerned. You can be so simple you can't put a screw in a hole. Or you'll try to use a nail where a screw goes. You can be real simple. But still, the word will work where you're concerned. If you will let it work, if you'll do your part. God's not holding back. John 15:7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and, that's a conjunction, that means there's more to this than that, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. You can't leave any of that out. If you live in me, how do I live in him? We're in Christ. We're born again. I'm doing something with my life in Christ. Okay? So that's taken care of. I can do that and not abide vitally united to him. And my words remain in you. See, the word's got to remain in you. In other words, I'm doing something with the word. I'm receiving it. I'm not just a Sunday morning, every other Sunday go to church person, and that's all the word I get. I'm in the Word daily. I want this Word in me. I'm desiring it. I'm seeking it. I'm correcting myself by it. I'm feeding on it. It's important to me. That's this person that Jesus is talking about. This person has positioned himself. So now whatever I ask, God will do it. It doesn't mean I can go and ask for a Mercedes-Benz. That's not what I was talking about. It says, whatever I will, my will is now conformed to his will because the word is abiding in me. I've yielded to that word. I'm submitting myself to it. So now my will is his will. I'm doing what I do based on his will, not mine. So now when I go to him and ask for something, I'm asking according to his will. That's very important. The next one is linked to that. We also must be convinced that God hears us when we pray. I got to be convinced I got to be convinced that God's word is absolute truth, and I got to be convinced that he hears me when I pray. So many of us don't believe that. 1 John 5:14 in the Amplified. I love this. I declare this every morning of my life because I start my prayers here because I want my mind and spirit conformed to this. I want to have my thought life turned to this. I need this every moment of my life. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. Now, there's a lot of absolutes in there. But that's the way we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to believe this. And if we're praying the word, we're persuaded. But if I pray something and I think, well, I hope God heard that, you're in trouble. You're not going to get it. You're in trouble. Why would you think that? For one, you don't know your relationship is right with him. For another thing, you probably didn't pray according to the word, or you didn't believe the word to begin with. So when you walk out of there, you're totally uncertain. You just don't know. I hope God intervenes here. What am I basing his intervention on? I need to go find the verse, find what he says, and then take that into my prayer time. I'm praying his will when I pray his word. His word's absolute. He's already made his mind up. So that gives me confidence when I pray because I know I'm praying what he's already said. I'm agreeing with him. And now he can act on that. But if I don't, if I see this as a maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. Maybe they'll listen to me, maybe they won't. Maybe I'll get this, maybe I won't. Forget it. It's not going to work. I'm not saying he won't do what he can. He will do what he can there. But you haven't given him much to work with. What's working there? Doubt and unbelief. There's no faith there. Why? Because you haven't got anything to establish your faith on. But when you get the word of God and you believe it's true, now you can base your prayer on that word. It's your anchor. It's your lifeline. It's the thing that you can draw on. And it's something that Satan can't change. Because it's God's word. And it belongs to me. So I pray that. I believe it. And when a doubt comes in, I correct it again. I go right back to the scripture and use the scripture to change my thinking. I cannot allow doubt to come in. That's my job. And don't you think Satan won't try to get you to doubt that? He will. You'll have friends come out of the woodwork and tell you, yeah, but, you know, I know John. Maybe you know John too. I know John. And you know he did what you did, and he died. Well, first of all, you don't know what John did or didn't do. But what John did or didn't do has nothing to do with what you do. But Satan is coming along trying to get you to doubt. He wants you to doubt what you pray. And you can't afford that. The price is too high. You've got to go right back to the word and reestablish. And that's what you do. You fight that doubt. The other thing is we must be convinced that the word is truth, absolute, that God hears our prayer, and then we must be convinced about standing. We must stand, therefore. Ephesians 6:10. Now, this is the Amplified, the first part, then I'm going to use the King James. We must stand, therefore. That's my job. God's not going to stand for me. I stand. Stand means I'm in a military position, and you're not moving me. I'm not giving up this ground. That's the way you have to do with Satan. You take the word, you declare it, and you stand. Well, how long do you stand? You stand there for however long it takes. It will happen if you stand. God can use that. Satan will not stand if you stand. But if you don't stand, he can run roughshod over you. So, Ephesians 6:10, in conclusion, and this is the conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. He provides the strength. But I draw on that strength. I draw on it when I get into the word. I draw on it. Praise God. Now, Ephesians 6:11, this would be the New King James. Not only do I stand therefore, not only do I draw on his strength, but I still have work to do. I got to put on now. Last time we talked about putting on the new man. Now we're putting on the whole armor of God. We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why didn't it just say that you can stand? It says that you can or you may be able to. It doesn't mean you will, because that's your choice. It doesn't say that maybe this will work. That's not what he's saying there. Maybe this will work, maybe it won't work. It's saying, if you do your part, it will work. That you may be able to stand. So, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you're not standing against his wiles, if you let your guard down and stop standing, that's not God's fault, that's yours. Now you get back up again and put the armor back on. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So that's where we're wrestling. So quit wrestling with the world. Don't even start to wrestle with City Hall, Pastor. You just take the word in there. We're not wrestling with them. We're not wrestling with Satan. We don't have to. We stand. We stand. Quit wrestling with your husband or your spouse. You don't have to do that. Doesn't matter how mean they are. Quit wrestling with your enemy. They're not your enemy. Satan is. It says, we wrestle against principalities of its powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That person is mean to you, not because they want to be, but because they're being deceived by an enemy. They're being sent by Satan. You can wrestle with that person forever and not get it changed. But when you take the word of God, it'll start changing. Because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, even though we think we do. Verse 16, Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice it says may be able again. That part's up to you. 14, stand therefore. He's telling you to stand there again. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, who girds themselves with truth? God doesn't. He gives the truth. We gird ourselves with it. We put it on. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, who puts that on? We do. You know, when you got born again, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? He made you that. It's his righteousness. You don't earn it. He gives it to you. And then 15, in having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is a fruit, not a, it's fruit. It's already present if the Holy Spirit's present. So I have to activate it. I have to call it up. I have to exercise it. That's my job. But the worst thing can happen to you in a fight is that you have sore feet. Because if you do, you're not going to be able to stand. They're going to kill you. So if you got God's shoes on, his peace, you don't have to worry about your stand. You're going to stand. But you must have good feet, good shoes, if you're going to stand. Then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Does God just give it to you? He does, but you've got to take it. Your faith is involved. And what's involved in faith? Love. Perfect love casts out fear. But faith works by love. If you don't walk in love, your faith won't work. So check up on your love walk. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Every one of these is an action on my part. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice you go right back to the Word again. And don't forget the next one. Praying with always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So not only am I putting all this on, but I'm keeping my communion with God. I'm praying. I'm praying. What am I praying? I'm praying the Word. I'm standing on the Word. The Word is my root. It's my foundation. I'm rooted in the Word. It's also my anchor. So it's very important. These are things that we need to know to function as a conqueror. To function in what the gift that God has already given. He's given it to us. What are we going to do with it? You know, this has been rumbling in my spirit since Pastor asked me to do this. This foundation for this just came immediately. And normally it don't do that. Normally I got to listen longer. But it just, in the 5 minute space while I was praying, I just started making notes. And then from that, this came out of that as I studied it. And as I came here this morning, I had a real churning in my spirit, man. Really, a real strong churning that this is vital. It's vital for where we are as a church. It's vital for where we are as individuals. It's vital in our family life. It's vital for our nation. We individually and corporately as a church must start exercising our rights as more than conquerors, our rights as overcomers. Quit seeing yourself as being overcome and see yourself as overcoming because of what he did. As long as you see yourself being overcome, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be overcome. But if you take the word and stand and see yourself in what he has done, that he has made you an overcomer, you start believing that, you're going to start seeing some changes. There will be resistance to that because that's the last thing Satan wants for you to do. He doesn't want you to get that truth. Now you're dangerous. But you're also victorious. Amen? Amen. Well, pinch each other to see if you're still breathing. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. Thank you for teaching us this word. Thank you for opening our understanding. And thank you, Father, for opening the door wide so that we can position ourselves. Lord, I pray for the people that are here and those that will listen by CD or whatever. I pray, Father, that you grant them revelation knowledge, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we can know the hope to which you've called us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for teaching us. It is so important that we know these things. And we just thank you for the honor and privilege that we have of your Holy Spirit teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.